Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I heard music. Now I don't. let me start that again. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthier weight and get on with your life. Because that's what it's all about, right? I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. Okay, so if you'd like to join me here in the studio, I would love to hear what's on your mind, what's weighing on you, what's eating at you. Because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, compulsive eating, emotional eating is not food. Yeah, that's right. The problem with eating problems is not food. The real problem is what's eating at you. And that's what we're all about here. I'm going to help you resolve what's eating at you so you can be free. Free. It's all about freedom, making peace with food and never having to think again about counting calories, carbs, or fat grams, thinking about breakfast at dinner, thinking about dinner at lunch, thinking about lunch at breakfast, and worrying about it all the time. You have other things to think about. You have other things on your mind, which, again, I would love to hear about. The number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. Give me a call. So last week, I saw a post on Instagram, and I could not wait to share it with you because it really, really resonated with me, and I want to know what you think. I want to know how it impacts you. What do you think about this? Here's the quote. Having a positive body image isn't believing your body looks good. It is believing your body is good regardless of how it looks. It isn't thinking you are beautiful. It's knowing you are more than beautiful or handsome if you're a guy, hot, either way. It's understanding that your body is an instrument for your use, not an ornament to be admired. I love that. I gotta give it some love here. Yeah! Love it. This quote is from Dr. Lindsay Kite. She and her identical twin sister, Dr. Lexi Kite, are the founders of a blog and a movement called Beauty Redefined. And their mission is to change the way women think about their bodies. Well, my mission is to do that, but also change the way men think about their bodies. I want to change the way humans think about their bodies. Whatever your gender, or whether you're gender neutral, or whatever, however you identify, let's create a way of feeling good about yourself and not just define yourself as the person you see in the mirror. So both doctors, Lindsay and Lexi, experienced a lot of body shaming when they were growing up, and this motivated them to change not just the way they thought about their bodies, but they wanted to create a paradigm shift in the world. And I am so on board with that. I love them. You got to check them out, beautyredefined.com. And you're going to hear a little bit more about the way they think, because I'm going to share an article with you. I am starting to hear a lot about bikini bodies. It's the end of May. People are starting to ask, well, how do I get ready for summer? What's the best way to feel good about myself? How do I feel good about myself in a bikini? And if you are on Instagram, you're going to see a lot of people posting more and more photos of themselves in bikinis, being like, look at my body confidence. I'm in a bikini. By the way, there's only one way to get a bikini body. You know what it is? Put a bikini on your body. That's it. Of course, that is a great Instagram quip. If only it were that easy to change the way you feel about wearing swimwear. Which brings me to more from Dr. Lindsay Kite. She wrote a blog post called The Bikini Tyranny, of body positivity. I'm going to share that with you. The bikini tyranny of body positivity. She says, how did wearing a bikini become the gold standard for demonstrating body positivity? Yes, every body is a bikini body, if that's what you really want to wear. But why are two-piece swimsuits and posting pictures of ourselves in them online, why is that the ultimate signifier of female confidence? Great question, Dr. Lindsay Kite. Why have so many of us bought into the idea that wearing a bikini equals loving your body, and loving your body equals wearing a bikini? We meaning she and her identical twin doctor sister, they argue that it's the same reason so many of us struggle with low self-esteem and negative body image in the first place. We are defining ourselves by our bodies. To be more specific, we are defining ourselves by the looks of our bodies. For too many women, our looks are everything. Our greatest source of shame or pride, our lifelong fixer-upper project. And the only thing about us that matters in lots of circles and situations. This is not body positivity. This is me interjecting into her article. This is not body positivity. This is objectification. We're back to her. We learn from childhood that women are objects for other people's visual or physical enjoyment. And we learn to judge ourselves through that same external view. We become outsiders looking in at our own bodies. And by the way, this really resonates with me. I have two daughters, and when they were babies, everywhere we went, people would stop me and say, oh my God, that is the most beautiful baby. As they got over, oh my God, your child is so gorgeous. Oh, she's so beautiful. She's so beautiful. She's so gorgeous. When I was out with friends who had boys the same age, and we'd be, you know, together doing playgroup or something, people would say, what a little man. Look at that little trooper. Look at him. He's such a little man. Hey, buddy. And they'd say to my daughter, oh, she's so beautiful. So right from the beginning, boys are given different messages. The boys were like, oh, you're a little man. You're a little guy. It's who you are. Whereas the girls are, it's what you look like. When we are defined by the way we look, and when the standards of good looks are perpetually out of reach, and they are perpetually out of reach, because guess what? Our standards of good looks are based on not reality. They're based on photoshopping and all kinds of manipulation to make people look like they don't actually look. I know models. I personally know several models who people think are the most amazingly beautiful goddesses that walk on earth, and they long to look like them. And these model people that I know, the models say, oh, if only they look like they look in pictures, in magazines, and so forth. They don't actually look like that when they wake up. A lot of effort goes into making people look effortlessly beautiful. So, of course, we are ashamed of our bodies. We're only human, and we're holding ourselves up to an absolutely non-human possibility. Of course, we learn to seek confidence and power and validation through fixing or sharing our bodies. Our identification of our bodies, our identifying culture and economy, because, by the way, the diet industry is a $60 billion business. And it depends on us feeling terrible about ourselves, that is, about our bodies. So, of course, we learn to define and think of our complex, incredible bodies almost exclusively in terms of how they look. We believe the falsehood that loving our looks is the same as loving ourselves. Boy, that's important. I gotta say that again. That's how important it is. We believe the falsehood that loving our looks is the same as loving ourselves. Ourselves are not our looks. We might even believe that wearing a bikini in public is the ultimate test of true body confidence and empowerment. Later, we might even learn to reject those bikini body ideals and come to believe that our vulnerability at exposing our skin for the world in a bikini, even and maybe especially with all its quote-unquote flaws, is proof of total self-love and body confidence. And the internet will back you up on that idea, by the way. Compare the likes on any woman's swimsuit pic on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, on basically any other picture that she has posted. Guess what? The body-bearing pictures win every time. So it gets reinforced. When our looks are the most important thing about us, and when body confidence gets minimized to simply embracing the looks of our bodies, it makes sense that bikinis, the most revealing of all publicly acceptable attire, take on otherworldly power in our lives. The Kite sisters, the Kite psychologists, call this the hashtag bikini tyranny. We should all take up that hashtag. Hashtag bikini tyranny. Why tyranny? Because no item of clothing can or should have that kind of power over us, for good or bad. For so many years, bikinis have been put on a pedestal reserved only for the hottest among us. In recent years, with much needed body positive activism, women have worked to shatter that pedestal, holding all the bikini body ideals to help people of all sizes feel comfortable enough to wear one. But do bikinis really deserve to hold that power? Do they really hold the keys to our body image liberation? this is kind of I'm going to take a lot of time to finish this article. So if you want to call in right now and interrupt me, feel free. I will go back to the article. Again, the number here is 818-602-4929. It's 818-602-4929. So any questions you have, give me a call. Okay. So do bikinis really deserve to hold the power to our body image liberation? What do you think? And feel free to weigh in, so to speak, weigh in on this topic too. What do you think? What do you think so far about this notion that maybe wearing a bikini, no matter what our size, is not the ultimate testament to body positivity? So Dr. Kite says, yeah, sure, wearing a bikini might make going to the bathroom a lot easier during the day at the pool or the beach. It may prevent the painful groin and shoulder strangulation of a one piece that is too short in the torso. If you've ever worn a one piece that is too short in the torso, you know what I'm talking about, or what she's talking about. It might allow for a much nicer tan, or even it might look awesome. But it might also spark constant monitoring and tugging and adjustment if you're moving around much, let alone trying to play or swim at the beach or the pool party. It might expose too much sensitive skin to the sun. Hello, melanoma. It might be impractical and uncomfortable and trigger you to constantly think about your appearance. If you're wearing a bikini, you are definitely going to be thinking about sucking in your stomach, especially after you've eaten. You know what I'm talking about. I know you know. So that last piece that she mentioned is extremely likely whether you love the way you look in a bikini or hate it or somewhere in between. The mental state of thinking about how you look while you go on with your life is called self-objectification. Self-objectification. And it is the absolute worst. Objectifying yourself is terrible. Being objectified by others is terrible. But doing it to yourself, that's bad. Self-objectification, even if no one is looking at you, can cause you to feel bad. It can cause you mortification. It can cause you shame. And guess what happens when you feel shame? Shame is the sense of feeling bad about yourself, like there's something wrong with you. And then you're vulnerable to using food to feel better, to escape, to comfort yourself, to not think about this. Because you're not thinking about the bikini if you're thinking about, oh, I really want ice cream. Oh, this ice cream is really good. I feel better. You're not thinking about the bikini thing, or you'll think about it later. It's a temporary numb state. So please keep in mind, says Dr. Kite, that some of the people posting their bikini shots on Instagram are still suffering from negative body image and constant fixation on their appearance. So true. If you're really feeling confident, Are you really going to feel the need to post a photo of yourself in swimwear? Are you? To the world? You're just going to feel good about it, right? Then you don't need to show the world that you feel good about your body. Some people are so fixated on getting great photos, they don't actually make it to the pool or spend the entire time pulling and tugging and adjusting out of discomfort or trying to present their bikini bodies in the most photo-worthy and appealing manner as possible. You might wear a bikini because you love how it looks and feels. You might even wear it to push back against beliefs about your body being bad or somehow not okay or someone else's property. That is awesome. We love seeing body diversity in media and at the pool or the beach. Representation matters and everyone deserves to swim. But please be cautious of the pressure to wear a bikini simply in order to prove to the internet and to yourself and your friends and whoever that you love your body and are a confident woman. You know, what makes you confident is not how you look in clothing, or it ought not to make you feel confident. And what makes you feel confident is what you achieve in your life, the kind of person you are, feeling good about how you are in the world, what you're doing in the world, the good that you're doing. The good you're doing and the good you're feeling in the world is so much more important than how good you look in clothing or a bikini. No one asks men to prove their confidence by posting Speedo shots on Instagram. And thank God for that. Nobody needs to see guys in a Speedo. I'm just saying, that is my personal belief. I think some of you may know what you're talking about. Nobody needs to see it, right? And guys are not like, dude, I feel so much better about myself today because I posted that Speedo and I did not shave my chest. I just let myself be natural and I feel good about myself. The idea of a dude saying that is kind of ludicrous, isn't it? I don't think I've ever seen or heard such a thing of a guy going, I feel so good about myself because I posted that Speedo picture. Whew, and I got so many likes. Well, an objectifying culture that only values women for their bodies thrives off you believing that revealing more of your body online is the truest path to liberation and empowerment. And that bikini pictures are the best way to demonstrate self-love and confidence in this female body-obsessed world. Isn't it interesting that wearing a bikini is both the problem and the supposed solution to our body image woes? Well, the Kite sisters would like to offer an alternative view. I am so on board with their alternative view, and I hope you are too. Again, please give me a call. Let me know what you think. 818-602-4929. Positive body image isn't believing your body looks good. This is back to the quote that I read earlier. Positive body image isn't believing your body looks good. It's knowing your body is good regardless of how it looks. Wearing a bikini and posting the proof online doesn't give you body confidence, and it doesn't prove your body confidence. No amount of likes or follows or external validation can do that. Why? Because your body does not exist to be looked at by others or by yourself. We've got to stop privileging an external perspective on the incredible bodies we've had since the moment we were born. You have grown up in this body and experienced every second of your life in this body. Your body has brought you from birth to wherever you are now. And yet we judge and define our wonderful bodies by how we feel about how they look in swimwear. That thought should be laughable. Again, wearing a bikini does not mean you love your body any more than wearing a hat means you hate your head or love your head. Lots of people in bikinis hate their bodies. Lots of people in rash guards and board shorts love their bodies. Let swimsuits be swimsuits, not badges of honor or tests of courage or proof of pride, just swimsuits. Can we take back some of that power now? Can we end the bikini's reign of terror or triumph? We are over. Whoop. I think someone was trying to call me. All right, caller. I think I saw you call in. I have some, there's a new look to my board. So if you just called, please call back so I could take your call. All right. I'm a little confused by my board, but hopefully I'll see the call if it comes back in. Okay. We're over the bikini tyranny that dominates discussions of body ideals and body positivity. Your swimsuit proves nothing about your body image, and it shouldn't have to. It's just a swimsuit. So if wearing a bikini proudly isn't the solution to body image issues, what will get you closer to experiencing and demonstrating real, lasting body confidence? One hugely important step is understanding that your body is an instrument for your use and experience, not an ornament to be admired. Dr. Lindsay Kite says that even though she grew up as a competitive swimmer, she refused to swim from age 15 to 21 because she hated the way she looked in her swimsuit, her one-piece, you know, competitive swimwear swimsuit. It was only once she recognized the body shame that had been drowning her for years and chose to swim against it, literally and figuratively, that she was able to develop body image resilience and use her body as an instrument to change her whole life. Putting on a swimsuit, even though she was ashamed, did not help her love her body. Putting on a swimsuit, even, oh, there's my call. Hi, caller, you're on with Dr. Nina.
I'd like to speak with Dr. Nina on the air. Did you need my name and everything?
You are speaking to her. This is Dr. Nina. Welcome to the show.
What? Sorry, you saying I'm on the air now?
You're on the air. I'm Dr. Nina, and you are?
Oh, my. I am very overwhelmed.
Oh, it's just you and me. What's your name?
Sorry, my name is Steffi.
Steffi, yeah. It's just you and me, just us talking. No need to be nervous or scared, even though I understand it is scary to call a radio show and talk to someone you've never talked to before. But you did it. You called. So you know what you get? You get this, Steffi.
Here you go.
Right? There. What's going on? What do you want to talk about?
Okay, Dr. Nina, I'll be honest with you, okay? I do prank phone calls. It's like my whole job. But I just called you, and you're so nice. And I can't, in good faith, do a prank call to someone who is so incredibly kind, clearly. So you've stopped a prank. Congratulations.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And so anything you want to say other than something prankish?
No, I mean, I will say this. This is one thing I'll say. You seem to be talking about body positivity and things like that, about feeling good about yourself. I'm 6'2", and I was 150 pounds. I was massively underweight. And, you know, finally, after years and years of struggling with it, I was able to put some weight on. I'm now close to 195 and feeling really good about myself. But one thing that I noticed is that people have no problem sort of being very rude and disrespectful about your weight to your face if you're underweight. And I think that's something that people don't really talk about too often. There's no stigma surrounding that. So people will say, oh, look how skinny you are. And like, yeah, you gotta eat something. You got to put on some weight. And to me, you know, I don't think people realize kind of how that comes across and how that can make somebody feel. You know, particularly a man, I believe, in this instance.
Well, first of all, I got to say that I love what you just said. And for you to segue from, you know, a potential prankster to sharing something very important and something that, you know, a lot of people can relate to. Interestingly, I got a lot of guys calling me for all kinds of reasons, and many men do not talk about this. One of my patients said, hey, it's just as hard being Ken as it is to be Barbie. And so this body shaming goes both ways. It's like you're told there's this ideal that you should be, and if you're not that ideal, whether you're underweight or overweight, and that's subjective too, depending on our cultural ideals, that there's something wrong with you. And then people feel free to be able to say, hey, you should do this, whether it's you should eat more or eat less.
And I will say this too, and I don't want to completely disagree with that, the person that you're referring to in that call. I think it's probably is a lot worse for women, just, you know, everything surrounding that type of stuff. You look at society, TV, movies, stuff like that. I think it's, you know, weighted fairly heavily against women, and they feel a need to look a certain way more. But yeah, I think it's important to recognize that it does happen for men as well. And it's not just the one way, you know?
Exactly. Well,
all right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Nina. And I appreciate you, what you're doing. And we won't be pranking you. You're very nice.
I appreciate that. You can call back anytime to talk about this topic or anything else in the general umbrella of body image and weight and self-esteem and culture and all of that. Call
Sounds
me back.
Good. My name's Chris. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye. Aw, that was kind of awesome. And he's right. You know, men get a lot of, I'm talking about women in bikinis and everything, but men feel just as bad in bikinis. I have a friend who won't go into the pool unless he's wearing a t-shirt. No matter how hot it is, he will wear his t-shirt at the party, in the pool, won't take it off because, you know, he's like, I shouldn't be seen unless I have a six pack. And that's just terrible that we feel this way of any gender. We shouldn't feel bad about just being, and we shouldn't make how we look in swimwear so damaging to our self-esteem. So what helped Dr. Lindsay Kite, she says, putting on a swimsuit even though she was ashamed and then actually swimming in that swimsuit helped her love her body. By the way, she has a great TED Talk you can check out where she talks more about this very thing and how she overcame everything. So to conclude, we can't give swimsuits the power to make or break our body image. However, your choice of clothing and swimwear can help increase your body confidence when it allows you to feel comfortable and confident doing and living and being. Wear whatever you believe will enable you to experience and appreciate your surroundings, your life, your situation, your capabilities, and what it's like to feel good inside a body that is good for a lot more than being looked at. Here's another caller. Hi, caller, you're on with Dr. Nina. Should I say hi, Nicole?
Yeah, hi, good morning, Dr. Nina, it's me.
Hi, Nicole.
Sorry, I'm a little late today.
That's
I was listening, but I was waiting to call in. I just wanted to express, I think that, you know, what you say about, like, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating at you. I think I experienced living proof of that, because, like, last week when I was, like, really stressed, I remember you said when you feel big feelings, you feel big.
Yes.
I did feel big because I was feeling big feelings, but I was also big because, like, there was a lot eating at me. And then in the last week, I've felt like things, like, I resolved the things that were eating at me, and I feel like the weight kind of just shut off, and it was easier to control what I was eating, and just I felt better mentally. So I felt better on the inside. So, like, everything on the outside was better too.
Yeah. See how that works? So often we think
it's
the opposite. We think when we feel better on the outside, we're going to feel good on the inside. No, it's the opposite. When we feel good on the inside, we feel good on the, we experience ourselves differently on the outside. People say, well, when I lose weight, I'll be happy. No. When you're happy, you will lose weight. And by the way, Nicole, it might not be that you actually lost weight. It may be that you lost the perception of the big feelings being a big you.
Mm.
And
no, but really my jeans look better.
And we also naturally can go up a few pounds. You know, we can fluctuate.
Yeah.
So whatever the case, what I'm really happy about, what I'm hearing, is that you're recognizing that it's what's going on inside. And as I recall, or if, for those of you who weren't listening last week, Nicole, you thought that some cortisol or something was causing you to gain weight and that you had a panic attack and it was absolutely not related, yeah. you thought, to anything that was going on in your life. Come to find out, you were not so happy with your sister who ruined Mother's Day or tried to ruin Mother's Day, and you were worried about your father who had, you know, you were afraid he was going to have anaphylactic shock. So there was a lot going yeah. on that was eating at you. And once you were yeah. able to recognize that, it's hard yeah. to be mad at your sister, yeah, but what have you done around yeah. that?
So my dad is okay, thank God, knock on wood.
Good.
My sister and I are talking again. We're like, we're good too. I actually like, yeah, never mind. I don't have to say that on live radio. But anyway, we're talking again. I just feel like, yeah, I feel like I resolved a lot of the thing. What else did I resolve? Yeah, those were like the two main things, right? Yeah, those were the two main things that were eating at me. But yeah, I resolved those things. I was going to ask you another question, but now I'm blinking. Let me just think for one moment, because it's a good question that I want answered.
Oh, well, think a moment.
Do. I know I am. Sorry.
While you're thinking, will it disrupt you if I talk while you're thinking?
No, please talk.
All right, you think, and I'm just going to wrap up the last part of the Kite Sisters, what they were saying. Until we shift the focus from what we look like to who we are, until we feel like instruments rather than ornaments, no matter what our gender, we'll be stuck in the same cycle of self-objectification that keeps us focused on how we look in a swimsuit instead of who we are and what we can do. You
okay,
are more
I remembered, by the way.
Okay,
the
good. Okay. Speak to me, okay. Nicole.
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sorry to interrupt you. Okay, so question is, so I really freak out like when I go a few pounds up. I know it's what's eating at me, but like I really freak out.
Yeah.
I think part of my panic attack was also that I feel like I had gained a few pounds and it was like eating at me, that oh my God, how did I gain a few pounds? Why do I look like this? I'm so unhappy. I don't want to go anywhere. Like literally I probably gained maybe max 5 pounds, but like I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to go on any dates. I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want to go to family functions. Like I'm thinking like when I'm pregnant in the future, like am I just going to be a disaster? Like I really freak out when my body changes and I want to like be more comfortable with that. I don't want this to happen every time, you know? Do you have any suggestions or?
I do.
Is that normal? Okay.
It doesn't matter whether it's normal or not. For some people, it is normal, and for others, it is not. But it's not a good way. It's not a healthy way to be in the world. Now, Nicole, do you remember yeah. a few weeks ago when you said that when you were a kid, you had been overweight and that your mother was constantly shaming you and that you didn't feel good enough and that somehow your sister was better than you because she was thinner? And you felt bad about yourself and you recognized that some of the things that you were saying to yourself were in your mother's voice?
Yeah, you're right.
So if you have this notion that the you that is not thin enough is the unlovable, not good enough, shameful you, and that you re-experience yeah. all of the feelings of inadequacy and not feeling good enough and negative, you know, sense of self and all of those horrible feelings that you had as a kid, then even 2 pounds isn't really about 2 pounds. It's like now you're going from, oh, you're safe and you're good enough because you're this weight, to going back to that kid who was not good enough.
You're so right, because when my mom gains a few pounds, she says to herself in Farsi, like, for example, she says, "Chok tu saram," which means, let me die. Like, let me die. Like, I want to be under the ground. Like, she says really.
Oh, wait. Oh, so bad. No, that just deserves two of them. Oh, what's the message, Nicole? What's the message? Let me die? I've gained 2 pounds?
Let me die. Like, yeah, if I gain a few, oh my, or she says, Mr. Govshadam, which means, oh, I look like a cow.
There may be more than one reason why you feel this way.
Yeah. So it's like the dialogue that I've heard my whole life growing up is kind of like now what I'm saying to myself. Like, oh my God, what a shame. Why do I look like this? Let me die. I look like a cow. What's wrong with me?
Now,
I get it.
Yeah. So it's on two levels. One is because your mom continues to model, it sounds like, is modeling this idea that gaining 2 pounds is so shameful that she should actually be taken from this life, you know, and die. That is how shameful it is. It's the worst. It's so awful. It's like a capital offense. You know, let me die because I've gained 2 pounds is what she's saying. And so the message is that this is the most mortifying, shameful, awful thing about herself and then therefore yourself. It's not just about your body. It's not just like healthy people in body and mind will say, oh, I gained a couple pounds. Let me just sort of, you know, knock off the, I won't have dessert for a few days and I'll be fine. That's a healthy attitude.
I have to.
You have to.
One question is, I don't know how do I reverse that? Because I know it's something that's been passed on from her mom to her and then her to me and my sister. So now how do me and my sister reverse that so we don't pass that to our kids?
Well, there are two levels to this. So part of it, sort of on the more surface level, is this is what your mom says, this is what you've internalized, and this is what you say to yourself. Mm-hmm. But that's more surface. Mm-hmm. The deeper place it takes you, which is what you have to heal in order to change, because when you change this, you won't be saying this to yourself, is the notion that your lovability and enoughness is tied to your weight. To be able to heal the little girl that you were, you've been talking to me for months, and it wasn't until many months that you sort of let out or revealed that you had been overweight as a child, which I thought was very interesting.
I was so chubby. I was a little chubster. But then when I was 13, I lost all the weight. I was like 120 pounds. And like, I mean, it wasn't that much overweight, but I was chubby.
But that little chubster, as you just put it, even though the way you just said that sounded somewhat affectionate, I have a feeling that when you were the little chubster, you were not feeling so cute.
Sure.
What were you feeling? What do you remember feeling at that time in your life? Especially when your mom would try to get you to not eat or make comments or otherwise try to change your body. What do you remember feeling?
I don't know. I guess ashamed, like not wanting to be a chubster.
Shame. What did it mean to be a chubster? I think you do.
What?
I think you do remember. Because everything that you feel, the panic that you feel at gaining weight, that's what you felt. I'm not, I'm not going to be good enough. I'm going to, the shame, the mortification, the fear, all of which you feel, that's what you felt.
Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think also, it was what was eating at me. Like, you know, like maybe it was also, what was eating at me. Like I was 3 when my sister was born, and like maybe, like I know that I was like very jealous to have somebody, like another kid in the family. Like my sister doesn't have any photos alone because I would jump in every single picture. She doesn't have one picture alone as a kid.
Right.
So maybe it was like some of that, and like,
yeah, because you were
sure
the princess.
A lot of stuff.
Well, look, 3-year-olds, here's the mind of a 3-year-old. I'm 3.
Yeah.
I've been the center of attention for 3 years. This is my world. It's pretty good. Everywhere I go, all eyes are on me. I'm the center of the universe. And then what happens?
Yeah.
A little crying thing is born and brought into the house. And suddenly you are dethroned from your princess throne and everything's about the baby. 3-year-olds don't go, oh, there's a new baby in the house. And of course, the baby needs more attention. And eventually things will even out. 3-year-olds are like, everything I had, I've now lost. And it's all being given to that screaming, crying little thing.
Thing. Yeah.
And what's wrong with me that they took all that attention away from me and gave it to the baby? Now, eventually things even out when all goes well. And you learn, okay, you know, there's enough love to go around. But sometimes it doesn't even out. And you're left with this sense of, what's wrong with me? Then the thing that's wrong with you is you're a chubster. Then the thing that's wrong with you is you could be a chubster. And it's not even, it's the idea that losing weight makes you a lovable person. That, to answer your question, recognizing this idea that there's something wrong with you that you can temporarily rectify by losing weight, as if the bad part of you is in your weight, has to be challenged.
Mm. Mm. You're so on point. It's very on point. So yeah, maybe I need to think about what else I think is wrong. Should I think about what else is wrong with me and maybe like try to fix that instead of thinking that what's wrong with me is my weight? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is you got to think about what else is wrong with you, but not fix it. Challenge the idea that there's something wrong with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right? No, you're not.
I think that losing weight will make me more lovable. You're right. I feel like I'll be more accepted. More guys will like me.
Yeah. And how much weight do you have to lose to achieve this goal? How many pounds?
Like 5 pounds.
5 pounds. That is a seriously meaningful 5 pounds. If it has the power to make people like you more, make people accept you more, make guys like you more, and make you feel better about yourself, what an incredibly powerful 5 pounds.
I know, this is so funny. Like, hearing you say it makes me feel like Nicole. Like, that's so funny. Like, what are you thinking?
Well, it's
But I do think it's the small thing that matters. Like, it's crazy to think, but I'm even saying, well, it's the small things that matter. Like,
whose voice is that?
Sounds funny.
Whose voice is that? And where did you learn that?
My mom, me.
If you met a guy that, like my friend who wears the T-shirts, if you met a guy that was bright and funny and nice and treated you well and was, you know, but was 5 pounds overweight, over what you thought was perfect. Let's just say he did not have the six pack, but he was fine otherwise. And then he lost weight and got and worked out and got a six pack. Would you like him more?
No, I wouldn't. I would like him just as much as I did before.
Then why do you think the guys would like you more if you lost 5 pounds?
I don't know, but I love that you just made that analogy because you're super right. Like, I am what I am, not because of the way I look or if I'm 5 pounds heavier or skinnier.
Say it again. Wait a minute. Okay, we got to do. Okay, I'm going to do a drum roll and then I want you to say exactly what you just said. Okay? Say it again. Here's the drum roll. Here we go. Go.
Like, I am who I am, not because of if I'm 5 pounds heavier or 5 pounds thinner. I am who I am because I'm who I am on the inside, because I'm smart and kind and loving and fun and, you know, like a bunch of good stuff. Smart and ambitious. And someone's going to like me because of those things, not because I'm 5 pounds thinner or heavier.
That's right.
Yeah, and I don't want to be with someone who would like me because I'm 5 pounds heavier or thinner. I want someone to be with me because they value me for who I am, because that's the kind of person I'm looking for, too. So
I think that I'm hearing the real Nicole and not Nicole's mom using Nicole as a ventriloquist dummy. Emphasis on the dummy. Sorry, Nicole, but...
Oh,
you just
I love you. Thank you.
That's
oh
you.
My God.
You go back and you download this show and find a way to cut out that, or download that part of you talking And the next time you have that thought, I'm sorry to say you will have the thought of, I need to lose 5 pounds to be better. You will have it again,
yeah.
But you're going to have it fewer and fewer times. I want you to listen to that.
Okay.
Listen to that and remember who you are. That's you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. You healed, you like helped heal me in just a few minutes.
I am so happy to hear that.
I'm going to call next week. I have another question, but I'll leave it for next week. It's about people eating turkey sandwiches and chips at lunch and me being very jealous.
Okay.
We'll leave it for next week.
Just stay with what you just said after the drum roll. So important.
Okay. Thanks
I'm proud
a
of
lot.
You. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Wow. That was big. See, we just heard from Nicole and not Nicole's mom speaking through her. So how do we heal? We heal the original wounds. The original wounds are the circumstances and relationships that we had early in our lives, not always our parents, but can be our siblings, our grandparents, our relatives. It could be things that happen with teachers, some significant relationship that happens in your life that affects the way you think about yourself. And time does not heal all wounds. You know what happens? This is what happens. Say you have someone in your life who's judgmental and critical, and it's a horrible relationship. It makes you feel bad about yourself, and you just can't wait to get away from that judgmental, critical person. And finally, you leave home or you get away, and then you know what you do? You don't find a person who's non-judgmental and kind. What we do is we seek, because we want to heal the original wound, so we seek, unbeknownst to ourselves, another judgmental, often seek, it's not true of everybody, we seek another judgmental, critical person, hoping to convert that person into the kind, loving, generous, open-minded person that we wish we had in the first place. And that we think that if this critical, judgmental person gets turned around and loves us and is, you know, loving, that it will heal the original relationship. We either seek them out, we either seek out those people, again, unconsciously, or we perceive people as being judgmental and critical by the way we interpret them. What we have to do is, instead of continuing to repeat the pattern and hope for a different outcome, which never happens because critical people are critical. Critical people don't suddenly become, you know, accepting and not judgmental. We have to heal the original wounds. Which time do I have? I'm almost out of time, so I will leave you guys with this thought. So that the past relationship isn't with us in the present. The whole point is to put the past in the past instead of repeating it in the present. And so we have to go back in time, go back to the time when we were most hurt and heal, not by just repeating what happened and saying, oh, that happened and it hurt me. That's part of it. But to look at how we internalize ideas about ourselves, notions about ourselves that we then take as truths and challenge those so that we can come to a new way of perceiving ourselves so that we are not judgmental and we are not critical of ourselves. And then when we're not critical and judgmental of ourselves, we're a lot less likely to accept critical or judgmental people and a lot more likely to seek and be with people who are loving and kind. That's how you create change. We turn to food because people are unpredictable and unreliable and unavailable, and because we want to escape ourselves instead of respond. We want to just give ourselves immediate comfort, a kind of comfort that, by the way, symbolically represents people and relationship, rather than respond to ourselves in words. All of which is what we talk about on the show. So hopefully, if you're out there and you have any questions about this, give me a call next week. I will be here next Wednesday at 10 a.m. here on LA Talk Radio. And I am so glad that you joined us today. Even Chris, the would-be prank caller, thank you for joining me and for not pranking me. And I thought your question was awesome. If you like the show, please give me a review or a rating on iTunes. Now it's Apple Podcasts. Because the more the reviews and ratings that I get, the more people I reach, the more people we reach, the more people we help. And that's what it's all about. Thanks for being here today. I'll see you next week.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.